James DeMars.
Yes.
It's always nice to see you.
Good to see you, Sterling.
Especially after you've been racing on your bicycle.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, good exercise.
A Lady of Guadalupe being done at ASU.
Yes.
This, as I recall, was premiered in 2008. Was that right, or was it
this,
before?
Let me give you a quick insight here. It's important people understand they're two different pieces now. But I knew that writing an opera was a very difficult endeavor, and when I looked at what other composers had done, I chose to lead with the music. So I wrote the essence of the musical score and premiered that in 2009, I think. And Robert Doyle over at Canyon Records produced that, produced the recording. We sent that out all over, and we had a number of performances in Brooklyn, Philadelphia, Intercultural Journeys. And so there was enthusiasm for it, and I came back to ASU and talked with a fellow there, Bill Reber, who I think is a wonderful conductor. And he said, you know, you have an oratorio. We want an opera. The fellow to work with is Graham Whitehead. He's an excellent dramaturge. In other words, a stage guy that knows how to handle things. And Graham worked with me and with Robert Doyle, and the three of us had many long meetings as we built a new text or a new libretto. We jettisoned about 25% and then doubled the length of what we had. So we added new characters, made the contrast much more stark, much more dramatic, and I had a chance to write, and now I have a wonderful coloratura part. It's the singers that make it wonderful, and they're at times improvising and adding things that are just... The other day, a girl said, I have a high G. Now, that's the octave above the normal soprano high G, and she's using it, and
wow.
It just pings. And we have the new role of Friar, which is a baritone role. And one of my favorite students has that role. Vasily is a fun singer, and it's wonderful for me to see him sing. The cast is incredible. I guess I'm getting far afield here, but let me tell you, I'm very impressed. Our lead, Andrew Peck, has to memorize a huge amount of music, and he's doing it, and he's singing like a pro. And my dear friend for many years, Isola Jones, is prominent in this. So, and many other cast members. I mean, there are more than I can name, but they're doing a fantastic job.
Let's back up a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, in fact, let's back up this far.
Yeah.
Where did the idea come from?
That was a very interesting thing. The idea came from a request to write some music to call attention to the fact that our immigration problem is a mess and people are dying in the deserts because we can't decide what to do. And two people came to me and said, we want you to write a requiem. And I had just written a requiem. I didn't want to write another one. And they seemed to be in disagreement themselves. And after the meeting, Richard Romero, who I'd worked with before, and now Father Richard Romero, took me down to the park and said, whatever you do, you need to deal with the story of Guadalupe. And I said, what is that? And he laid out the story of the Native American guy, Cuatlatoac, that takes on the Spanish name Juan Diego, has visions of the Virgin Mary, who he thinks is the earth goddess Tonantzin, but he has visions and he finally realizes that he can show the Spanish people that he too is a spiritual person. And this is done with the presentation of roses and finally the miraculous appearance of the classic image that we've all seen, Our Lady of Guadalupe. Anywhere you go, you see that image. And that's the image that in the story is emblazoned on the chest of Juan Diego. And it convinces people, both the Aztec people, the Spanish people, can see a deity. They can see a god in the eyes of the other. The beauty of that image is it's half Aztec. If you look at it, it's full of Aztec symbology. And Christian. So you had both the Native American and the Spanish culture blended. And that's the story, and that was the inspiration.
But he says, tell that story. You've got to tell this story.
You find out about that story.
And it becomes more, I mean, I lived here my whole life. And immigration has been all over the place. Yeah. And when I was a little kid, it just wasn't talked about. You know, you went to school with folks who were here for a few months, and they were off to Idaho to do something else. And right. Said, well, yeah. So there was this almost indigent population.
Right.
But you chose, rather than deal with whatever the political mess is now, whatever the climate is now, to go back to the idea of indigenous peoples in Christianity.
Well, the reason is when I was meeting with Richard Romero and James Corvarubius, the artist, and so forth, I think it was Jim Corvarubius that said, don't you realize this is the first peace treaty of the Americas, and it comes about when one group learns to trust the other. You have to trust the good intentions of the other person. And we're not, often we don't do that. So this shows us this sort of coming together, and once a trust is established, then the Mexican culture, which now is completely blended, you know, if someone's Hispanic, there's Native American and Spanish ancestry now. So that was the idea.
Okay. Musically, I remember the at the premiere, the reviews came out, and you got a great review from a guy who could be rather churlish. But he brought up the question of, is this an opera? Is this an oratorio? Does it matter? But yes. It was done in stand-up.
Yes.
Not dramatized. It was a
concert, yeah.
Yeah. Stand-up. It almost sounds like a comedic piece. No. It was, so when you set out to rework something you've already visited and had great success with, it's been embraced by, you know, yeah. around the country. What's your goal? And were you hoping to attract new audience? Were you hoping to make a stronger piece, a different piece, something that artists would enjoy?
It's funny. I didn't really think about it. Usually when I finish writing a piece, it almost feels like someone else had written it. It, you know, after the premiere, which is the thrill, you kind of let go and don't think about it. And in this case, I just thought that I wanted the experience of having an opera, you know, the full, all the voices, just the glory of the moment. I think I was just trying to build a really interesting musical experience. In ways, that's maybe selfish, but that's what keeps me going. I think you understand that, the thrill of the moment. And in, what was I thinking? In this case, I felt that I could do that and should go for it.
Well, you said selfish, and that's unfortunate. Oh. It's another cultural thing where selfish is bad to us. You know, it connotes all sorts of bad things. Well, and yet it's realizing your passions, your bliss.
Well, if you don't take yourself very seriously, which I think is an important thing to remember, I don't think many people really know if I'd written on this or that before, or they probably don't care that much. So why not take what I had and go further with it? This much I understood, and there were a lot of things that weren't in that first version. There were too many male voices, for one thing. Mm. And so I was able to add a coloratura and expand another soprano role and just carry it out musically.
There are all those considerations people don't realize that you have to make. You've got to think about what's the balance, not only in the size of the group versus the orchestra versus the size of the singers, then the kinds of voices I have on stage, how many basses, how many baritones, tenors, altos.
Right. And an opera can be so many different things. There's so many different ways to solve the problem, but that's exactly correct. It's a matter of the mechanics. Which singers do you have? An interesting sidelight on this one was that we have a character, a Malinche, who did not exist in common time with Juan Diego. We brought her into the role because she is a controversial figure. A coincidence is that ASU has now produced 4 Spanish operas, which is almost unheard of, but they've done that in the recent, over the last 15 years. And in the course of that, they have done one called Malinale, which is about this figure, Malinche, and a very nice connotation of the figure. And we needed a negative figure in our opera, something to play off of, and we had the role of Malinche. Malinche is the translator. A translator has tremendous power. They can translate or mistranslate. And in our opera, she intentionally mistranslates. But she had to be gone with the new storyline. She was gone for the finale, and that meant we didn't have a nice high female voice for the finale. So that created a new role that we just called Second Woman. But it gave me a coloratura. We have two coloraturas that switch off, and just tremendous voices.
Yeah, which we have two coloraturas. You know,
it's double cast. Yeah,
sure, but there are times you want to do things in any university or conservatory setting, and you know that great voice just graduated. You know, somebody just moved on. And you've got somebody, but it's not that voice. Oh, but it sounds like you're real excited.
Well, I am. I'm thrilled. Our lead, Andrew Peck, the role of Bishop Zumarraga, Paul Gamble. These guys are pros. I mean, they're just wonderful. So the talent pool is real high, and the thrill level is great.
As much as I wish everyone knew all that you've done, it's true that some people will be, you know, James DeMaro's, oh, maybe they just moved into the Valley or just finding out about you.
So what? You
know? Well, when you were talking about, you have, I don't know if better is the right word, in a different perspective, approached mixing music, taking Western traditional music with Native American drumming.
Yeah.
With the Native American flute, all sorts of things like that, and it doesn't come out by in other people's hands, and I won't name names. That can and has become a mishmash of, is this world music or where are we?
Yeah,
and you never do that. It's what's respected is both sides.
I hope so.
It's very much so. That's what happens, and people walk away moved by it. But it's almost a natural flow that I guess you would do Our Lady of Guadalupe, even that it was suggested to you by a man who's now...
It fit perfectly because I... To put it into a quick perspective, I began my career as a pianist with an avant-garde ensemble, and we were doing the music of Stockhausen. That was our specialty. And I enjoyed doing that, but I was intrigued because that movement in Germany, the avant-garde at that time... had a deep interest in acoustics and acoustic phenomenon and sound. And I remember playing the piano works, and you'd drive the piano in ways that would make it resonate strangely. And it just opened up this world of sound. Then I came out to Phoenix, and I didn't know, you know, what am I going to do? And I started getting introduced to the Native American musicians through Canyon Records, Robert Doyle, and thought, my God, what a resource. And these guys... some of my favorite composers don't read music, but they create wonderful sound. So that interest in sound is what led this way, and I think I have a background in classical music and have never tried to, what can I say? I always have Native American musicians come in to perform their music. I don't try to imitate and make you believe that we're something we're not. I think that everyone sees through that easily. If you want to hear Native American music, have a Native American come in and play it. We have that, by the way. Our Carlos Nakai, my longtime friend, agreed to come in and kind of sneak in and sit in the pit. And so in the pit orchestra, he's coming in play. I mean, he would be a very expensive act. But he's going to come in and sit in the pit. And also, what can I say, Aztec Mayan specialist from California, Javier Sheotl. These guys are volunteering to come in and sit in the pit and play, and so that's fun too.
Well, again, that's testament to, well, not only what you're doing, but to you. Mm. So that's so the premiere is.
Let's see, it's Thursday, November 19th, 7:30. It's really right at the School of Music in the bottom levels of the round School of Music, is Evelyn Smith Music Theater. So it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday at 7:30, Sunday at 2 p.m. matinee,